Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along as we begin the program today by taking a look at your retirement. Have you planned successfully for your retirement? Do you think it's an impossibility? Do you think it's, or maybe you've got it, going pretty well right now. Do you have a plan? That's the thing. We'll deal with that a little bit as we visit with our guest, Frank Armstrong. Frank has been with us many times. He's a certified financial planner, founder, and president of Investor Solutions, Inc. He's the author of The Informed Investor and co-author of Save Your Retirement. So great to have him back. Certainly, if you have questions about your retirement, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment right there. Frank Armstrong with us by phone. Hi, Frank. Are you there? Wait a minute. It'd be better if I really push that button a little harder. Now I think I've got you. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Larry. Great to be with you.
You know, somebody said to me, retirement planning, I'm not going to do retirement planning. It's really only for the wealthy. How do you answer that?
Wrong.
Wrong is right. Well, that's what I said.
You know, I think that we got to face the fact that down the road, Social Security is not going to pay nearly the benefit that it did to our parents, and that private retirement plans like the defined benefit plan where you worked for 30 years and they retired you with a fixed income forever. They're past history unless you're police or fireman or something very special. So for the rest of us, we've got to look forward to financing a great deal of our retirement income by ourselves, either through a 401k, IRAs, or private savings.
Yeah. How do we know how do we calculate how much we might actually need to save for retirement?
Well, if you're close enough in so that inflation doesn't really destroy your calculation, you can say to yourself, how much do I need to live on? And then how much of that is going to come from Social Security and other issues? And then the difference between all that is what your retirement pool has to generate in income. And I'd multiply that by 25 on an annual basis so that if you need $1,000 per year, you need $25,000 to support it. That's assuming a sustainable withdrawal rate of about 4%.
Yeah, there we go. Well, already callers online with questions for you. Again, the number for you to call to join in, and we do have an open line, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. Bob in Claybanks, Wisconsin, has a question for you, so let's go there. Hi, Bob. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having the show.
You bet.
I'm looking at a self-directed IRA in real estate, and I've talked to a couple of outfits. I'm only able to find places online, and it seems like they're mostly in the Northwest U.S. too. But I was just curious what Frank might have to say about doing something like that and how to check references on a service that I might be using for that.
I could never endorse a self-directed plan for real estate if you mean individual apartment unit ownership or something like that. The problem is that you cannot properly diversify an IRA into multiple properties across the country. If I were going to, and I believe in real estate, if I were going to do it, I'd use an exchange-traded fund or an index fund that owns all of the REITs. Across the country, and that would be either Vanguard or DFA or several other people have liquid assets that you can purchase and buy into the appreciation on real estate over the long haul.
What would be your biggest concern about doing something like that on a self-directed basis?
Well, suppose I bought an apartment building and at the time, or an office building. At the time, it was a B-rated building, and it had full occupancy. But along comes a guy and builds an A-rated building right next to me with 10 times the number of units that I have. Well, he's going to suck my tenants right out of there, and I'm going to be left with now a C-rated building and no tenants. And I've seen this happen over and over and over again in Miami, and I don't think that's unusual around the country. I just... And you know, you're then responsible for managing it. And I have had a couple bad experiences as a landlord early in my life that convinced me I never want to do that again. My mother and I had a building where one day we showed up and our tenants had stolen the sinks, all the appliances, and even the wall-to-wall carpet. And they just disappeared. And that was all I needed to know about owning individual real estate.
Okay, so it's more the real estate investment than anything else that you're
responsible for them for management. You lose the tax benefits of owning it because it's in the IRA. You can't properly diversify it. I mean, if you got 1,000 buildings, then you at least don't have the problem of one building going bad on you. But if you've only got one, the risk is exponentially higher.
Now, mm-hmm. There you go, Bob.
Okay, thanks.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Bill in Boyceville, it is your turn. Hi, Bill.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
Great. Thank you for calling.
My question is, right now, I'm 48 years old. I don't have a problem with putting into my 401k as far as the market fluctuations go. Because, you know, when you're putting money into it, you're buying some stuff lower, buying some stuff higher.
You're my kind of guy.
But on the flip side, I have an IRA that was from a former employer. At one point, it was, you know, up to like $70,000-some. Then it went down to like 40-some, you know, when the whole crash happened last time. And I look at the whole history of the stock market, and I see bubbles. I mean, I saw, there was a point where I felt, I know I'm kind of looking and, you know, at the charts and stuff like that, but I saw the tech stock bubble on the overall. I saw the housing bubble, and then I saw what looks like some sort of optimist bubble or something with the current stock market. And it just, I guess I'm looking for other options for that chunk of money just to kind of preserve it more. I've got it diversified into bonds and stocks. I don't have anything in cash. I mean, that looks pretty flat, but I'm just, I'm at a place where, you know, I'm at a loss as to what
to do.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm not putting anything into that because I get the 401k and I feel comfortable with, you know, riding that out. But it's just a chunk of cash that I don't know if I let that just ride out. I'm not adding to it or what. I don't know. I'm looking for other options as to a different perspective on it, I guess.
Well, one good option would be to perhaps roll that IRA back into your 401k so you can diversify it in the 401k if you think it's a cost-effective plan and allows you to diversify properly over there.
Okay.
Another option is just to go to Vanguard and diversify around the entire world.
Okay, I've got Vanguard for my IRA, and T. Rowe prices are...
All right, T. Rowe Price is pretty good too. My preference slightly would be Vanguard, lower cost, more passive funds available.
Okay.
But
yeah.
You know, the bubbles are going to come and go. You're 48, so you got an extended period of time for that to happen. If you concentrate on the bubbles, you will miss the long term trend, which is about depending on exactly the day you measure it. From 9 to 11% in the stock market,
okay.
And that's what you want to put your faith in.
Yeah.
Not if you watch the day to day fluctuations, and especially the kind of volatility we've had in the last few months, you'll go nuts.
Not to interrupt you, but I mean, I'm looking from the beginning of the Dow, and I mean, you can see. I mean, I'm not looking at day to day as much as the overall.
Of course, and those happened. Nobody wants to tell you they're not going to happen, but they've always recovered and gone on to higher ground. The market is remarkably self-correcting, and the long-term returns are remarkably stable. But yes, bubbles are there, and that's why you have to manage the amount of risk you're willing to take and consider your time horizon, which right now is probably
pretty long.
Reasonably long.
Yeah.
and take the right amount of risk, and make sure that it's tailored to your unique situation. The other thing I'd say is that if you're in long-term bonds, there may be a bubble looking for a place to happen, because we've seen a global interference in the bond market. Every central bank in the world almost is desperately pumping currency into the market to artificially lower interest rates for reasons that we all understand. But if you have a long-term bond, when that reverses, and I think zero is probably the natural boundary for interest rates. It's not going any lower, but they sure could go higher. And a long-term bond holder will have his capital devastated. So you might want to look at your bond portfolio and make sure it's reasonably short-term, high quality.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Bill, for calling. Appreciate your call. I want to give Arlene a chance in New Berlin to join in. Let's see here. Arlene, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm a retired person, and I have my husband's pension. It was divided between mine and his. And I have a pension. If I wouldn't have those two, I'd be sinking and swimming. I mean, and I also have a 401k. The whole problem is that when I left work, my 401k was up, and I didn't roll it over fast enough, and I lost money. So it's going up and down and up and down. I would like to see somebody tell people that you need to have almost as much in retirement as what you did when you worked the last about the last 10 years of your life before you retire, because you cannot. They're saying that $20,000 is for a retired person they should be able to live on. You can't live on what happened back in 1940, and I don't care what anybody says. It's really ridiculous. I'll take my answer off the air.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Your answer is that I couldn't agree with you more. It's not possible. I don't want to live on $20,000 a year. I'd be living underneath a bridge over here on Watson Island in Miami, fishing with the other outdoorsmen. you've got to account for inflation. If you're very close to retirement, you can do a pretty decent estimate of what your needs are. But if you're further out, you may not be able at all to estimate what your needs are. And you're probably better to establish a savings goal every year as a percentage of your income, so that you build up a pretty big fund. Because just a small variation in your inflation assumption is going to drive you nuts. Whereas if you save liberally and you invest in a world stock market, you should have enough growth to cover that over the long haul. But you're absolutely right. You don't want to be getting along with $20,000. And a lot of these forecasts that you see where people say, well, I only need 70% of what I'm making today, that really doesn't hold up in my experience, my anecdotal experience with retirees, because there's not that much they want to cut out of their lifestyle the day they march out of their employment.
Yeah, absolutely. Our guest today, Frank Armstrong, certified financial planner, founder and president of Investor Solutions, Inc., and author of The Informed Investor, and also co-author of Save Your Retirement. You can join in with your questions as well relating to planning for retirement at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking investing and planning for retirement with Frank Armstrong of The Informed Investor. Great to have him with us. He's been a regular guest for a long time now. And certainly if you want to join in, I hope you will, with your questions at 800-642-1234. Michelle in Ettrick, Wisconsin, it is your turn. Hi, Michelle.
Hi there, Frank and Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question, well, though prospects don't appear very likely, I do hope to retire someday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in an employer-sponsored 401k right now with diversified exposure and different kinds of funds, which has worked pretty well for me so far. I'm still learning. But right now what I'm finding is that as I get involved or interested in alternative energy, solar, wind, I'm looking at buying an electric hybrid car, and so I want to invest in those manufacturers as well. But I want to use tax-deferred retirement monies to point in those directions. Is there some way that I might research and find specific funds that have largely those entities in that group? Or because, you know, with the regular mutual fund, it might be hundreds of different funds.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just buying percentages, you know, very small percentages of those. And what I want to do is, you know, target them, but use retirement dollars for those.
Okay.
Okay, well, the answer to your direct question is yes. You could probably go to Morningstar.com and do all the research you needed on funds that specifically target green-type investments and alternative energy.
Mm-hmm.
The larger answer is, I'm not sure that's a great idea. If we go back to the build-up on the Internet and the dot-com bubble,
right.
Everybody thought that was going to change your life. Well, it certainly did change your life,
mm-hmm.
but very few of the pioneer companies are around today. Most of them floundered. And lots of money got wasted on thoroughly bad ideas. So, you know, picking the winners is very difficult. It's a much higher risk than if you kept with a diversified portfolio.
Yep, I understand.
And the market will sort out the winners and losers for you. But yes, those are available. They're probably available in exchange traded funds also. You know, if you went to Morningstar, they have a wealth of online information that you could tap into.
And would avail me of opportunities to invest with tax-deferred
Well, you know, that depends on your 401k, if they'll let you self-direct to that extent.
See, it's not part of the menu so far that's available.
Well, it wouldn't be. If I was the investment manager for your firm, I promise you it wouldn't be,
mm-hmm.
Because I don't think it's a prudent investment.
Okay.
And so they're in the same position if they start offering things that aren't thoroughly diversified and prudent, then it doesn't work out. The employee can come back and say, "Gee, you led me to believe this was okay."
Mm-hmm.
So they probably want to restrict the menu to things that have passed muster in terms of prudence and hopefully cost and other effectiveness measures.
Yeah. There you
so
know.
You could do it with an IRA. You can do anything you like with your IRA.
Right. And that's kind of what I was thinking. I would have to create an IRA account, but then I'd want to target the funds in that too. You know, I understand they'd be riskier, you know, ventures, but I want to support those kinds of, you know.
Sure.
You support them by buying the products maybe. You said you want an energy efficient car, alternative energy car. Those kinds of things are, but buying individual stocks or targeting that sector is a risk that I personally wouldn't advise.
Mm. All right, there we go. Thank you very much, Michelle, for calling. An email from Lorraine in Mineral Point, who is 50 and self-employed. Husband works for the state, and we've been putting extra in for retirement out of his checks because it's easy to do. But I was recently told that I should set up an IRA for myself to reduce my taxable income. How do I do that?
Google spousal IRA. That's a very, very good idea. Unless your husband's really making a lot of money, you can put another $5,000 away in your spousal IRA or more if you're over age 50. And I think it's a great idea. If every family put $5,000 away in a spousal IRA religiously on top of whatever they get from their 401k, we wouldn't have nearly the retirement problem that we do in this country.
Wow, very good. Reed in Clintonville, we turn to you next. Hi, Reed. Thank you for calling.
Well, good morning. And thank you on, what is this, first day of December?
Yeah.
That said, I called because I'm very concerned about people who are not employed. We have a huge number of unemployed in this country who will not be able to contribute in any way to any IRA or any retirement fund of any sort. And many of these people have been unemployed for 1, 2, 3, 4 years and more. And it will not only impact them with retirement, but it will also impact their Social Security. What can be done for these people, or what can they do when they do find or secure employment to mitigate the problems that have been caused by this vast Republican conspiracy of spending money on the wealthy and not on the unemployed?
Okay, you said Republican conspiracy, and I wouldn't have, because it's maybe not politically correct, but I agree with you. I think we're doing a terrible job of fostering our own human capital here. And a country that doesn't invest in education in particular, re-education, and their own people is going to turn into a third-world country in a generation or two, and I'm equally concerned. Now, directly, I guess part of your question is, what can they do when they go back to work? Well, they can max out their contributions to their pension plan. They can do the IRAs like everybody else does. They can go and get a tax-efficient private account, like a index fund account from Vanguard or one of the other providers. Fidelity has very good, and Schwab has very good index funds that aren't going to cause them a lot of tax aggravation. But the key problem is that we're betraying our history, our values, by not taking better care of people, helping them to transition into jobs that are needed and higher paying. You know, we have a lot of interesting questions in this country, but if we don't solve K-12, for instance, then we're toast. So I agree with the entire thrust of your conversation. But unless the voters start to vote their values and demand that their congressmen do too, there's not going to be any change that can be meaningful.
No. Thank you for your call. We had a Facebook question from Brady in Madison, who says, I would like to hear your thoughts on holding physical gold bullion and coins as well as silver as a long-term investment.
Well, I've said this many times before, and, right now the gold bugs are all saying C, because it has had a tremendous run-up. There's no particular reason for it to have run up, except that people are concerned about other issues in the economy. But if I can go back 3,000 years ago, the equivalent of 1 ounce of gold would buy you an incredibly beautiful power toga, and you would have been the envy of all who surveyed you as you strode across the forum. Today, no self-respecting criminal in pinstripes would testify in front of the Senate in a suit that cost what an ounce of gold would buy you. So there's been no growth in real value in an ounce of gold for 3,000 years. And if you would look at other alternative investments, stock market, real estate, other types of investments, you would have seen growth in real value. I can't argue with the fact that in the last couple of years it's had a high return, but it's only catching up to where the real value that it had historically. So I wouldn't buy it. If you buy gold bullion, you've got to pay somebody to guard it for you. You've got to insure it. It's not going to produce a dividend. You may be buying into a bubble. I can't forecast that, but I look at it and I say, why? Yeah. The gold bugs are always going to be with us. But it's had a long-term return less than Treasury bills, and that's pretty anemic.
All right, let's turn to Phil in Oregon. Hi, Phil.
Hi. My question is, as a hedge against inflation and to lock in 4% money for 30 years, should I refinance and take out a 30-year mortgage even though I only have like 7 years left to pay on it?
Oh, my goodness. No, no. You know, the You're talking about financial leverage. Yes, you could make an argument that, oh, I'm going to make 7 to 10% in the stock market. It's only going to cost me 4% to borrow this money. But if you don't make that money in the stock market, you still got to pay that mortgage. And I would never advise anybody to mortgage their house to go into any other form of alternatives, because I think if we didn't learn anything through 2008, it's that mortgaging yourself to the hilt and taking on leverage is a killer.
There we go, Phil. Thank you for calling. Chris in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I have a question about my pension that I have with the public or the – I was a high school teacher for 4 years, and what options do I have with that money that's in that system?
I can't speak to the individual options on those on any of these public pensions. I'm here in Miami. I have no idea what their options are out there, so I'm so sorry I can't help you. But, you know, you've got HR departments who have got reams of paperwork on that, and there are people who've been through this process before who can give you some help. I would just stay away from your local variable annuity salesman. But,
yeah.
You know, find a NEFA NEFA financial planner to help you talk yourself through it work your way through the options, and you can probably come up with some pretty good ones.
There you go. So you're saying see a local person who is a financial planner who can
ferret out the options. I mean, if you walked in here, I wouldn't know all the options on all the local pensions in the Florida area, but I would certainly be able to find that information for you and help guide you through the process.
Yeah.
What you want is somebody who's a fee-only advisor, who's got no axe to grind, and probably a certified financial planner or the equivalent that has some education in these areas and can help you make a professional, informed decision.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Thank you, Chris. Jim in Greenwood, your turn. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. I'm 69 and a half, and I've had an account with Vanguard since the 80s in my IRA, and I'm wondering about next year, about a year, I'm going to have to make some choices on convert, you know, doing something with that, and I've been working on that for some time. But can you take out or convert to a Roth? Is there a limit on that? I guess what I'm thinking in terms of staying within 15% tax bracket and start converting over to a Roth or something like that. Does that make any sense?
Why do you want to do a Roth, if I can ask?
Well, I guess it has some tax benefits in the long run, I believe. Maybe I'm wrong. It's just better just to transfer the don't you have to pay taxes on whatever gains you have if it just converted over to a standard?
If you take your IRA now and convert it into a Roth, you've got to pay taxes on the amount that you convert.
Right.
Then the amount that comes out is tax-free. But let's say you start with $100 and end up with $70 in your Roth because you paid the taxes on it. Now you're going to have exactly the same amount of after-tax income that you would have had from the regular, unless all of a sudden tax rates for you individually go up.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, if you're going to be in a 15% bracket now and a 15% or less bracket later, you may have shot yourself in the foot. If your tax rate's lower later, then you've leveraged the tax system against yourself. You paid more taxes than you would have over your life.
Oh.
Well, what's the alternative to a Roth?
Just do your required minimum distributions, unless that's going to cause you a giant estate tax planning problem, or your objective is to prepay the taxes for the next generation. But if you're solely looking at it, what's going to maximize my own after tax income? Then you may find that conversion to a Roth doesn't get you any better, and may in fact be worse if your individual tax rate goes down. because at retirement, a lot of people's tax rate goes down. And even if tax rates in the economy go up for the higher paid people, you will have done yourself a disservice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you do the distributions, you have to put it. You have to do something with it, right? Rather, I mean that would be my question about
when you do the distributions. You know, your required minimum distributions begin at age 70 and a half, and that's taxable income to you. If you don't spend them, you can reinvest in say index funds with Vanguard, Schwab, Fidelity, whatever, and then use those down the road as a source of income.
Ah, there you go.
I mean, it doesn't, just because you've had to take it out and pay taxes on it doesn't mean you have to blow it all like a drunken sailor.
Yeah.
You can pay the taxes and reinvest the rest in some tax efficient way. And that may have higher returns than either a Roth or a higher after tax returns than either a Roth or a regular.
There you go. Thank you, Jim, for calling.
You could accelerate though. You could take more to answer your question as directly as I can, you could take more out beginning now of your IRA and convert to a Roth if that made economic sense for you in your individual situation. But for most people, I would say it's not gonna.
Okay. Larry in Madison, we turn to you. Hi, Larry.
Hi, good morning. I've got, I'm 62 and still working, and I've got $400,000 in with Fidelity. My wife's 63 and recently retired, and she's got $600,000 in a 401k. I'm sorry, did I say Fidelity? I've got mine with Vanguard. I'm thinking of putting hers into Fidelity just so I don't have all that money with one company. Is that wise, or am I just being foolish?
I think that, the whole business about being putting your eggs in multiple baskets may not apply. I think you have adequate guarantees, and I'm completely comfortable with Vanguard, Schwab, or Fidelity in terms of the integrity of your holdings. The more important issue is how have you divided them up in terms of your asset allocation to meet your needs. But I don't think you need to have multiple custodians or multiple fund families when you've got two or three really, really good fund families to choose from. With $1 million, I think you'd be just as well off to keep them with one fund family, have one combined statement perhaps, or at least it would make management of them easier for you if they're all in one place.
Are you familiar with the portfolio analyzing tool from Vanguard? Is that fairly reliable?
Vanguard and I might not have the same asset allocation, solution. Theirs would probably be, just speaking off the top of my head, if I was going to run it with $1 million, theirs would probably have less foreign, less small, less value, maybe not real estate. And so I would probably end up with a different solution than they would. But if anybody on Wall Street has claims to a white hat, it's the Vanguard guys. Whether or not you want to take their solution or whether you think it's better to go hire somebody to run an alternative number of cases for you is a personal decision. If I was going to advise anybody to deal with anybody without a financial planner, I would say Vanguard's a pretty good source.
Okay,
for the record, they don't pay me a penny for this. But I've been around this business 37 years, and I got some pretty strong opinions about some of their competitors as not being worth it.
There you go. Thank you, Larry, for calling. We had an email from Lisa in Pulaski considering using professional management for her Roth and IRA accounts. The fee is 1% of my account value per year. What are your thoughts on using this service? I'm not a novice nor advanced at picking my own mutual funds, but considering that I've lost about half my retirement savings since the crash a few years back, would this service be a better way of weathering this unpredictable market?
Well, let me say up front that I'm one of those fee-only advisors. I would charge you 8% of assets under management. Depending on the size, it might be less. I think the big thing we can bring to the process is a certain level of discipline that that may add value over and above what you might do for yourself. Because one bad decision to bail out at the bottom of the market may be something that you never recover from. We can also add value through designing the portfolio so that you take the right amount of risk and you have enough liquid assets so that you can weather the storm and sleep well at night. Because if you can't weather the storm and sleep well at night, the temptation to bail out at exactly the wrong moment becomes overwhelming. Now, we have access to some maybe higher quality funds than retail investors do, and that might be an advantage. Additionally, we can do some things with taxes that you might not think of yourself. That they're not secret, but we do it with a great deal of discipline. So I like to think we add a lot of value to the process, but that's something you have to decide for yourself. I mean, it's an open market. You go and you look, you pay your money, you take your choice. But we have a lot of clients who think we add value, and I'm very happy to say they've had pretty good results.
Pat in Middleton wondered if you'd comment on cost basis letters that we've all been getting from various funds. Is it best to accept their default until we're ready to sell and then evaluate their tax status?
This is a requirement that's going to increasingly bedevil people. Cost basis is a good thing to know. But different fund families and different custodians may compute it differently. Some may use average cost. Some may use lots, etc. If it's a significant amount of money for you, you might want to spend some time and study how they're doing it and determine if that's appropriate or whether you want to calculate your own.
And Frank, I know that on your website. There's a lot of information on your website that I think people could find very interesting when it comes to investing.
Well, thanks. You know, we had some questions earlier about predicting what you needed for retirement. Mm. We have about 75 calculators, many of them which will help you to do those calculations. But use them with the idea that, you know, any small change in assumptions is going to have rather dramatic impact over long periods of time, so that, you know, if you decide you're going to have a 3% inflation and you want to plan based on that, that may or may not come true exactly. So you have to use all that stuff with some judgment, but it'll sure give you a good place to start. And there's about 500 articles, and probably 300 of them are about how to solve the retirement income and invest appropriately for that. So we didn't invite anybody to come to InvestorSolutions.com and use the resources to help yourself make better decisions.
Frank, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, always, Larry. And to all your listeners and to yourself, have a great holiday season.
To you as well, Frank. Frank Armstrong, the founder and president of Investor Solutions, Inc. And there is a lot of information on that website, Investor Solutions, Inc. Well, financial planning is definitely a case where having access to someone like Frank Armstrong for advice can be really useful. Another instance is if you are trying to navigate the legal system. And attorney David Rellis and pro bono service coordinator Jeff Brown joining us in just a moment. They have some great information on how to know if you need a lawyer and how to find one if you do, how to find the right one. Stay tuned for more really useful advice here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.